Hey, folks, it's Marvin Cash, the host of the Articulate Flower, back with another East Tennessee Fishing Report with Ellis Ward. Ellis, how are you?
Hanging in there, Marv. How are you?
Yeah, I get the feeling maybe your cup is runneth over.
Yes, but not all bad things.
Yeah.
Sometimes bedtime's just a little more challenging. Sometimes it's a little windier, but that's what tomorrow's for.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's interesting. We were talking before we started recording, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think in general in the Southeast, we've had what I would consider to be more of a traditional spring where it didn't become 100 degrees and with a ton of rain and then get cold again. And so we've kind of had a kind of a damp, relatively cool spring, but the weather's kind of been all over the place. So, you know, in Tennessee, just like here in the Carolinas, you know, up in the 80s, now you got lows in the 30s. And that generally kind of, you know, puts things in a funk, right?
Look at that. Generally speaking, I would say it puts things in a funk. I really do like to find the exception to some of those rules. And I think that the nature of a tailwater or of two tailwaters fed by 200 plus 300 foot deep lakes being insulated the way that they are, having the population densities and certain sections of the river that really don't have much traffic on certain flows and times of day, I've felt good about finding the exception to that generally. You know, this variability and lack of any consistency creates tough fishing, but man, it's day to day, and I've had days that, you know, our first 3 or 4 hours are top-notch fishing. Had some new guys in the boat, and a guy boated a high teens brown on a swim bug in his first 10, 15 minutes of streamer fishing. Boat got a number on nymph, picked off a few on dry flies in the first couple hours, and then the remainder of the trip, you know, they were really dead set on, and we had talked about this for quite some time, on sort of tuning in their dry fly fishing and tying and presentations and casting all this, and we didn't see a rising fish for hours. And when that can happen if you're just floating, but when I'm burning through sections and going to the spots, and it's been funky enough, I think, with those quote unquote bad times, there really have been, you know, a spike in barometer up. Blue skies, wind, just the right mix of tough conditions to make things. You should definitely be getting out in the first, you know, unless you're doing dawn to dusk, you should be picking one of those low light times to be getting out on the water, because that might be it.
Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of help folks understand, so when you get a lot of temperature fluctuations, even if you're on a tailwater, it generally makes the fish cranky, right? Certainly in the shallow water has a negative impact on bait fish. You know, what else can you kind of share with folks to kind of help them, you know, they don't want to go to work and they want to fish, so they got to make something happen.
Yeah. So I would say, some rules of thumb is, as things get tougher for fishing in general, just tune down your presentations a little bit. There's a reason that my go-to fly for low and clear on some bad condition days, isn't fishing an 8-inch crafty changer and hoping that a 2-foot brown erupts on it. I'm probably fishing for trout, specifically some faster, generally speaking, faster water, which is just to say there's a little more cover for fish. I'm still targeting the slower water, but it's adjacent to faster water. I'm not necessarily going that in that frog water as much. And, you know, smallies, it's, they can be a little more temperamental, and, you know, there could be some selection bias around here, I think, because they tend to be more in freestones, and when they're not, when they're in some of the rivers that are more tailwater in nature and less freestone in nature, they're still getting a lot of insulation. There's still shad moving around. It's not as subject to all of the environmental changes, but everything slows down. And they don't need as many calories. The entire food chain slows down. And so, yeah, trying to get that pre-spawn smallie to swim all the way through a big changer up to your rod tip when it's already sort of mess, is pre-spawn, are we towards the end of it? And again, I would say depends on which watershed you're fishing. If that's not had, if it's not a fishy day, right? If it's not a little overcast, if it's not a flat or falling barometer, and you have clear water, I would say it can be boring. You know, maybe throw in the fun stuff every once in a while, but I've slow rolled, I mean, real like slow tap, tap, tap on an intermediate sink, little bead chain eye clouser the day after and picking up fish on them when they're not hitting anything with a, as I call it, a ladder presentation. The day after, I was watching nice smallmouth eat flies, you know, appropriately sized for pre-spawn smallie fishing. And the next day is just, you know, we got hit with one of these low 34, 35 frost warnings when 3 or 4 days prior, it was basically feeling like a warm summer day. So I pull back a little bit there. I'm all over the place, just like our fishing and weather.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, using like a less heavily weighted clouser, or, you know, I'd imagine, right, like maybe fishing like something that hovers a little bit more, like a hover changer, you're really just trying to kind of tone down the, you know, it's not some, you know, you're not going to get fish ripping flies from the bank, right?
Yes. And thank you for bringing you that, back to that one. Doing stuff that can achieve more of the bite triggers in a smaller window of space. So said another way, you're able to keep the presentation there longer as opposed to relying on that chase. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is me about to start telling stories that I've repeated to myself enough to believe, but is it curiosity? Is it because they're metabolism slowed down? Is it small enough to be less threatening? You know, the caloric expenditure of attacking and you know, maybe having a little bit of a battle with something small isn't going to be the same thing for attacking and having a problem with trying to eat an 8-inch fish when you're a 14-inch fish. But yeah, you know, toning down to some of those, even the micro changers, you know, the 2.5-3-inch finesse changer type things. Yeah, B chain or those. I think there's some plastic. I forget who makes them. Wopsy might make them, but some plastic dumbbell eyes and yeah, bucktail, box, craft fur. But something to hang a little bit and stay in the kill zone. as opposed to falling down, getting into rocks or staying too close to the surface, which is also where having intermediate line and just knowing what to do in different situations, as opposed to always throwing 300 grain, you know, big flies and ripping it back. It's not always how they eat.
Yeah. It sounds too like you might need some stack mends in there, right?
Yeah, you know, I would say that depends on your philosophy of fishing for smallmouth and for trout. I think when you really start toning down your presentations, it can be pretty tough to get the full pop kill, the full dead stop moving with the current. And you know, with some of those smaller flies, I don't know, this is really contradictory to a lot of the stuff that I normally do and things I normally say, but some of those smaller flies just real slow rolling, you know, crapper, sparsely tied bucktail, fox. If the bite trigger is not the pop kill, hover above, you know, shoot from the belly, and it's just more of a, huh, what's that? I'm going to go see what that is. And you got something just consistently moving. Seeing it with striper and trout a little more so, you know, fishing with the idea in mind of trying to match that slow down shad, but no reason not to employ it for smallmouth.
Yeah, got it. And I guess too, you know, I guess one of the other things to remember is, you know, you're going to have to, you know, if you're on the sticks and you've got any flow, you're going to have to, you know, one, you're going to want to really think about where you put the fly, right? Because you got to manage that pretty well. But also too, whoever's on the sticks is going to probably be back rowing a fair amount.
Yeah, that's another, not going to say tough one, but I've come to appreciate my knowledge in where to put people when and how quickly, relative to current speed and bank position. And man, that's a big part of it. And I think I overlooked that, and I can be pretty tough on myself to the point of not self-promoting. But it's this last start to this season, sort of end of last year, it's putting your guy in the right place. I mean, some of these casts that happen, just they don't happen in the presentation that happens. It's fly selection. It's what rod they're fishing. It's some of these tweaks that we've gone through that allow them to get some of these presentations. And yeah, it's where the boat is and how fast I'm moving relative to the current. And you have to change that. It's constant. Dude, I am rowing. My arms are moving. They're on the oars 100% of the time when we're moving. You know, we very rarely stop and park for very long. So it's having an understanding of what to do and when is also, I think, if you're out fun fishing, man, if you're the one fishing, that dude rowing might not be doing the right thing. And heck, I would hope that he or she, if you're fishing with him or her, would be the type to take some constructive feedback. And if you need to get closer to the bank to get the right presentation, and you know, people like to get better at stuff. So the angler really should be the one to say, hey, you know, this is, I'm not able to do X, Y, or Z. And then, yeah, if you're fishing with the guide, it's very much on them to be, as much as one can, there's some times when you just have to be out of position, have you in the right spot at all times. It's just, otherwise you may as well just be floating down the middle of the river.
Yeah, I guess my suggestion would be to save your friendship and call a guide like Ellis. That would be,
you can both come and, I can provide couples therapy.
Yeah, dude, I've had some experiences with that, you know, where, one person can row, one person can't. And, you know, if you're fishing, you know, trying to be serious about it, but also to your point, I mean, it makes a huge difference, you know, particularly if you've got adverse water conditions. And, you know, that's why I generally, when I fish with people, I was like, dude, let's just get a guide. Like, you know, we'll flip a coin.
Yeah.
We'll decide when we're going to switch, but it's going to be a much better day. And we're going to have a much better dinner conversation if we just call somebody like Ellis. That's my thought.
Yeah. You'll actually have dinner together.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, folks, we love questions on the Articulate Fly. You can email them to us or DM us on social media, whatever's easiest for you. If we use your question, I will send you some Articulate Fly swag. And we're going to enter a drawing for some cool stuff from Ellis at the end of the season. And, you know, we know from last time that Ellis has got a few leftover bucktails. And remember, we've got a great community that we host on Patreon. And we have two tiers. You know, one is a $100 annual guide credit with Ellis, and the other is 10% off bucktails. So if either of those work for you, you should check it out. Links are in the show notes. And Ellis, you want to let folks know where they can find you, book you, and fish with you?
Yeah, website is ellisswardflies.com, and Instagram is at ellisswardguides. Best way to reach out, ask about dates, just call me and or text me at 513-543-0019.
Yeah, well, there you go. And folks, all that stuff's in the show notes too. So, you know, I know it's kind of funky, but I think any day on the water is better than any day in the office. So you owe it to yourself to get out there and catch a few. Tight lines, everybody. Tight lines, Ellis.
Appreciate it, Marv.